there are so many different pathways you can take when you have a doctor of veterinary medicine. It does not mean that you're just going to see cats and dogs all day. There's so many different veterinarians in places in the world that you wouldn't even realize that, like, oh, a veterinarian does that job. So it's a very unique career path, and you don't have to, like, be just one thing.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Welcome to the 54th episode of the Health Science Coach Podcast. Today, we get the pleasure of meeting with one of my best friends, Dr. Kyle Anderson. He is a doctor of veterinary medicine and co-owner of Cross Lake Veterinary Hospital. He is proud to serve Cross Lake and the surrounding areas in Minnesota. Cross Lake Veterinary Hospital is dedicated to providing the highest level of veterinary medicine along with friendly and compassionate service. The goal at Cross Lake Veterinary Hospital is to provide a healthcare team that is committed to providing superior client service and veterinary healthcare. They provide their patients and owners with ongoing educational, technological advances in veterinary medicine and service, and most importantly, compassionate care to all pets receiving treatment. Kyle and the other doctors and staff believe the best medicine is preventative, so they are always taking time to educate their clients to instill confidence when it comes to caring for their pets. Hey, Kyle, how's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, so you're a doctor of veterinary medicine. Can you give us a little day in the life of what a vet does as far as, you know, getting to work? Obviously, you and your wife own your own practice, so that's a little bit different dynamic. But just as a general vet, what do you do on a day-to-day or like a weekly basis?
Sure. So daily, we do a lot of different things. We could be doing surgery in the morning or seeing appointments in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we could be doing other types of procedures like dentistry or other things. So being a veterinarian really has lots of different facets to it. We go from just general day-to-day wellness care, like you would go and see your doctor and have vaccines for your annual appointments for school. We do that for dogs every day. And then we also do more intensive things like surgeries on dogs that need like life-saving surgery for eating something they're not supposed to, or say a dog has a broken tooth and we do surgery and remove the broken tooth. So there's a lot of different things that I do on a day-to-day basis, and veterinarians all over the country do lots of different things. And you can specialize in surgery, you could specialize in internal medicine, where you would only deal with certain types of cases every day, whereas me and my wife, we're just general practice doctors, so we do lots of things all day long, and it's very lots of variety.
Yeah. What types of animals do you see in your practice?
We just see small animals currently, which would be cats and dogs. I don't do any exotic animal care, but there's veterinarians that do exotic animal care with like small rodents or reptiles like snakes or birds like parrots. And so there's that aspect of veterinary medicine. When I first got out of school, I used to do large animal too. So we'd work on horses and goats and cattle and farm animals that way too. And so there's even veterinarians that specialize in just doing chickens for some of the big chicken producers, or pork for like, or pigs for like the big pork producers. So it's, you can pretty much work in veterinary medicine and in lots of different areas.
That's cool. So being a small animal veterinarian and a business owner, I know it's you and your wife, you have another vet that works there in the hospital with you guys, and you have several staff members. What are some of the other positions that a veterinary hospital like yours would see as far as career-wise?
Yeah, so we have front desk staff, which we call our customer service representatives, that kind of, they take appointments, they welcome new clients, welcome pets to the business every day and get them set up for their appointments in exam rooms or surgical appointments or whatever they need for that day. It's a very fast-paced environment for them. They have to answer the phone, they have to answer emails, text messages, plus greeting people and helping check out people, invoice people out after they've come in for their appointments that day. So that's a really fast-paced job, and you have to be on your toes all the time and happy, smiling, greeting people. And then we have in the back, there's veterinarian and veterinary staff, which are basically like your veterinary technicians, which are kind of like nurses on the human side. And that's a degreed position. So you can go to like a two-year technical college for that. There are some four-year institutions that offer technical veterinary technician degrees, but basically that's a little bit more advanced. So they're placing catheters, monitoring anesthesia, and other things like that for pets, making sure that people are aware of what they need to have done for their pets' appointments and those types of things. And then there's veterinary assistants that help with the technicians, and that's not necessarily a degree job, so they don't have to go to school for that. That's more of just helping clean kennels, helping walk dogs, helping get things set up for technicians to do their jobs. So that's kind of how the industry works, is there's support staff for everyone. Like the technicians support the doctors, and the assistants support the technicians, and then the front desk staff kind of keeps the day flowing. So
right. Yeah, I like how that's all kind of set up, and like you said, different levels of education for different parts of that throughout the hospital. So you started at, for schooling, you started at your undergraduate at Bethany and got your bachelor's of science in biology there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I started going to junior college first and got an associate's degree, but that's mostly was done out of wanting to do extracurricular activities in college, like play baseball. And right. So I would basically, I think that it's really important in the undergraduate setting to really work to figure out exactly what it is that you want to work towards. And I think junior colleges and smaller junior college universities, things like that, to where you're not going and trying to pursue a four-year education right away, I think are very beneficial. And it helped me kind of re-solidify what I wanted to do. It helped me keep my grade point average up while I was doing that, because there's a lot more parallels to high school, smaller class sizes, more intensive instructor time. And so it allows you to kind of transition into college a little bit easier, I think, going to junior college first. And I was able to transfer most of my credits to my four-year institution that I went to, which was Bethany College. So I do think that, you know, even if you want to be a doctor, you can start in junior college. There shouldn't be a stigma, I think, at starting there first. I wouldn't let that hold you back. I think there's a lot of really good programs in junior colleges to help you figure out what you want to do. But yeah, I graduated eventually from Bethany College, which is a private school, and then transferred everything up to Kansas State University for vet school. But that was done, you apply for school between your junior and senior year. So I found out going into my senior year, after all my application process was done halfway through, that I found out I was in vet school. So that that's how that whole process works, is you have to apply separately for vet school, and you have to have had taken a GRE test, which is basically a graduate placement test, and apply for school. And so you just want to make sure that you're set in an institution where you have good advisory help. So my biology professor was my advisor, and he helped me along that process with application. When I had questions on things, he would help give me guidance. And so you just want to make sure that you have a really good relationship with your advisors and your professors. And I find that it's a lot easier at smaller schools. It's easier for those people and have that ability to do that on a kind of one-on-one basis, to where they know you better. They have to write letters of recommendation for you. They need to be proofing your essays for school entrance and all those things. So right. I think that's very beneficial. And one thing that I would encourage people to do is just have relationships with your advisors and your professors, and make go the extra effort to get to know them, and so that they know you, and it just makes the process a lot better, smoother.
Right. So after you graduated, Bethany, you went straight into K-State, correct?
Yeah. So after my senior year, I did start med school the next year, but it's not uncommon. Like, we have undergraduate students that come work here at our clinic fairly often, and sometimes you don't get in your first try into vet school. That's not very, it's the same for other professional schools like medical school, dental school. Sometimes it takes a few times to get in, and you can't get discouraged. You got to keep working towards that goal. If that's what your end goal is, you got to keep working to apply every year and do that, while at the same time trying to gain more experience in the field. Is what I see works best for people. But
how long of a program was the K-State veterinary program to get to earn the degree?
Yeah, all veterinary schools are 4-year. So there's 4 years of undergraduate, because you have to have a bachelor's degree, or at least the requirements which meet a bachelor's degree to get to apply for vet school. So you may be able to get that years at undergraduate, but it is technically the same number of hours that you would need for your bachelor's degree. So you go to school for either 7 or 8 years total, but 4 of that is in veterinary school. And then post graduating veterinary school, you have options of either just going out and practicing veterinary medicine, or you can go on for internships and residencies after too, if you'd like, but you have to basically go to 4 years of school after.
Right.
The 4 years of clinical rotating year. So it's not really classroom as much as it's going out and inside the clinical setting of the veterinary hospital and learning that way. But
okay. So 3 years of education and classes, a lot of labs and that kind of stuff, a lot of hands-on anatomy of animals. What were some of the classes that you took that you kind of remember and stood out as being something that you just really enjoyed out of the class?
I didn't really, start really enjoying veterinary school much until more like in my junior and senior years, when I was more applications based. A lot of the first and second year was kind of more chemistry, biology, some anatomy, and those types of things that were just building upon the foundations that I already had in undergraduate. And so it was a little bit more monotonous. And then once we started getting into more of the, like, this is how you treat and care for certain disease processes and different animals, and learning about all of those things, it got to be more interesting. And then applying it and learning how to do it, senior year was much more exciting. But I would say that the thing I enjoyed the most out of the entire vet school experience was probably just building relationships with different people in my class and with different doctors within the university, and just getting to experience the whole process was probably what I enjoyed the most about it, rather than just like certain small pieces of the process. It was kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And then so your senior year, you mentioned that you go out and do your rotations and working with different companies or hospitals and stuff. How many different rotations do you do, and what were some of the parts that you did, or where did you work for those?
All the rotations were done at the university, other than some of the that you would have kind of experiences that you could choose yourself. So there were I think there was probably 5 or 6 different rotations that you could go outside of the university and kind of choose what you wanted to do. And so at that point in time, I wanted to do a lot of mixed animal medicine and was interested in like cattle, horses, but also small animals. So I did quite a few different things. I went to a small clinic in Missouri and learned about theriogenology, which is like reproduction with animals. And I learned about dermatology in Kansas City at a dermatologist. So there's a lot of variety and a lot of choices that you can make, but most of everything in the curriculum when I was going through school was pretty set in stone as far as these are the rotations you have to do within the clinic, and then you could pick some other ones outside of the clinic. And it really depends on the university. Now they have a lot of tracked programs to where you decide what your track is. And if you want to track small animal only, then you would have certain classes and rotations you'd be taking throughout your entire 4 years. So that's changed a little bit. I've been in school, but the it just basically you still had some classroom learning as far as you would have to go over journal articles or have lectures from some of the people from the doctors on rotation on the clinics that day. But then most of it was in taking patients and learning how to take care of them. And so that was a lot more like a typical day in my life.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense by, you know, just learning how to do the process of bringing an animal in and doing, setting up everything and going through the actual checkup and that kind of stuff. So you graduated in 2010, right after graduation, I believe you went up to Storm Lake, Iowa. Is that right?
Yeah. So my first job was in Iowa. My wife is a veterinarian, and that's where she had relocated after school, was to a clinic in Iowa. And so I kind of followed her there and stayed there for about 8 months. And then I left that clinic and went to where I am now when we purchased the vet clinic that I own. But the that clinic was a mixed animal practice. And so I did a lot of different things for lots of different animals and got a lot of good experience over those 8 months before I left. But it was, that's kind of where I started, yes.
So then you guys decided to open your business. That's a whole nother, just complete different, like, topic, I guess, of how did you choose to go into wanting to own your own business as a part of versus working for someone else? And how did you choose your location to do so?
So when you decide that you want to be a veterinarian, you know, owning your own clinic is always an option, but it's not always something that you think about right away. Right. Certainly some classmates' parents were veterinarians and owned their own vet clinic. So that kind of started that process, I guess, for me. Growing up, you know, I always wanted to be a veterinarian. That was always where I was going to be. And a lot of people have those feelings, but not all the time. And so it was interesting to me because I became a veterinarian without a lot of hands-on practical experience. I didn't really work in vet clinics a lot. I did a little bit in undergrad you know, met enough veterinarians and worked around enough veterinarians to have good letters of recommendation, but it definitely wasn't something I worked all my summers as in a vet clinic and all these different things to gain all this experience that's kind of required now to get to vet school. So I had a little bit different experience that way, but I didn't realize, I guess, the vast expanse of what you could do with your veterinary degree. So I didn't really get exposed to veterinarians as business owners until I was in school. And coming out of school, I didn't necessarily think I wanted to own a business because I knew the extra added stress and kind of work on top of already doing. But when my wife had a lot different experience, she didn't necessarily want to be a veterinarian from when she was a kid. And she had a lot more well-rounded kind of ag business information because her father was a farmer and her cousin owned a vet clinic. So she had a lot more of that, the business side of things.
Hands-on.
She had hands-on. Yep. Already been dealing with how you do this and what to do, and had a lot more handle on accounting and bookkeeping. And those are the things that I do not. And so it was much easier as a team than by myself, but it's not just being a veterinarian, it's being a business owner, and they're two separate things. And so you have to approach them differently. And so we don't get a lot of training in vet school on how to do that. So it's a lot of trial by fire and like trying to learn how to do things that you didn't go to school for. And so if I were to kind of go back and do something differently, it would be really smart to take business classes at the same time you're in vet school if you want to be a business owner. And some vet schools now offer that. You can get an MBA at the same time you're working towards getting your veterinary degree over the 4 years. And some of them have like programs to where you can get extra schooling, or they have electives that you can take on business and things like that to help students be more prepared for that. And in all reality, when you come out of school, you're working to make money and have a career. And so in order to truly understand what the business owner you're working for, or if you're going to be a business owner yourself, it's very important to understand the medicine part, but it's also important to understand the financial part of where that money comes from. And when you're interacting with clients and invoicing and producing for basically making your salary, it's important to know where those dollars come from so that you can kind of understand a little bit of where the business owner or where that corporation is coming from when they're asking you to do certain things a certain way, or asking you to watch how much time it's taking for this, because there's certain things that we have to also understand is that businesses aren't successful if they don't produce or make money and to pay the people that work in them. So it's not just going in and providing, you know, the best care for a pet. It's also understanding that, you know, there's a cost to that, and we have to make sure that we're making money at the same time. So
right.
It's a little different than human medicine, where a lot of it is focused on basically science and medical care and less on the financial aspect, because it's insurance-based system most of the time, and you're working for a big hospital that has all of that done for you. And so it's not something that you have to worry about as much when you're a human physician as you do when you're a veterinarian or own a business and a veterinarian at the same time. You have to really worry about the bottom line because you're selling a service to the general public that they have to pay for.
Out of their pocket. Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of mentioned already that, you know, you had the passion of caring for the animals and want to be there for, you know, taking care of the animals. And your wife had a little bit of the more experience of the business side of things with the accounting and the how to run the operations in general. What is it that you just really love about being a veterinarian that makes you want to go to work and perform surgeries or do medical checkups on animals?
So when I was little, I always thought that I wanted to just take care of animals, and I thought that was so great. But I didn't realize that my personality is much more geared towards the human side of veterinary medicine. And so when we're veterinarians, we're actually treating the bond that forms between humans and animals. And the reason that I say that is because a lot of times if a pet is sick or a pet needs something or needs care, the bond between the human and the animal is broken to some extent because the animal's sick or not feeling well, or, you know, the human is worried about that animal, and that animal there is there to support them and, you know, help them through things. So whenever I'm able to, you know, connect with the person and figure out what that person wants and needs, and then help them through, you know, getting with them what they need and want with their pet. That's what really drives me to do what I do. Less about, you know, saying I can fix this animal. It's more of, you know, I'm fixing that bond or repairing that bond between that human and the animal and giving that animal more time to spend with that human. And so those are the things that ultimately keep me doing what I'm doing. Is the connection and community that's formed around the entire process, I guess.
Yeah, I completely agree with, you know, being an animal, former animal owner, you know, like you said, there's a connection there between you and them. It's kind of like a member of the family. And if they're not feeling well, you know, you're worried about them and wanting to make sure that they're taken care of and receiving the proper treatment. What do you find just like rewarding, I guess, about, you know, fixing that bond or helping the animal extend a happy and healthy life?
Yeah, I mean, the most rewarding thing is I think being, when I have pets that I'm there for from like the time they come in for their first visit as a puppy into when, you know, we end up doing euthanasia when they're old and lived a long life. Because that's what, ultimately, I've seen that now. I've been doing this for 10 years. So I do see pets that I saw when they're puppies and now are getting old and having to euthanize them. And I, that whole process is really special to see like how that relationship forms with the human and how I'm a part of that relationship in some aspects and how we're able to, you know, provide for that family and family member. That really kind of gives you a good feeling. It helps you to like feel like you have a purpose. And so those types of situations are really, really good in veterinary medicine, at least in the type of veterinary medicine that I do. There's, you know, other parts of veterinary medicine, like say an emergency doctor that you may see at the emergency clinic when your pet is sick on the weekend or something. Their relationship is a lot different. They don't form that type of bond, or they don't you know, form that type of relationship with the client as much as it's, you know, they're doing, you know, specialized medicine to help the pet through that emergent crisis. And so their drive may be different, but it's always been for me more about getting to know the person and trying to help them through the situation where they're at right there in their life, and trying to form that bond with the human and the animal at the same time is what's always been the nicest thing for me and what I enjoy the most, I guess.
Yeah. I like that. So then with that, what misconceptions do you think are out there about being a veterinarian? I mean, I'm reading Dr. Doolittle to my kids. And so they joke with, they can speak to the birds and then the rabbits and the cats in our neighborhood and try to talk to them. Obviously you can't literally talk to animals. But what are some misconceptions out there about veterinary medicine?
Yeah, so I mean, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is people don't realize what goes into this job. We deal with a lot of different things on a daily basis. And so whenever you have very complex things going on with animals that are sick, that's a stress. And then on top of that, you add the client who is upset because the pet is sick. You have to kind of navigate that path between the clients and talking through everything with them, discussing, you know, how much things are going to cost, discussing what they can afford or can't afford, or what level of care that pet is going to get or not get. Working through that whole conversation with the client at the same time as then trying to figure out what exactly is wrong with the pet, and, you know, how to implement that treatment, and getting everyone on the same page in the clinic on how to, you know, apply that treatment to the pet. And then ultimately going home at the end of the day with all that stuff done and over with and like put away for the night. It gets to be really challenging. So people don't truly understand, I don't think, how complex and challenging those situations can be when you're trying to deal with a lot of those decisions under stress of, you know, almost an urgent type situation, and people feel like it's very urgent because they're, you know, pet sick. And so it's not always, you know, puppies and kittens, basically. It's a lot of really hard decisions that are having to be made for the clients that you work with or in their pets. And so it not everything goes well all the time. And, you know, not every animal can have the treatment that everyone wants for it, because someone has to pay for that. And you have to navigate those hard decisions and choices on a daily basis. And you have to get good at it, because if you're not good at it, then it, you know, you're not going to be successful. And so you have to be able to deal with a lot of stressful situations and then be able to go home at night and kind of leave that at work and you decompartmentalize from that. So it's it can be very challenging. And then on top of it, you got to call people back that have questions, and you got to follow up on lab calls, right, and then, you know, make sure that your staff is happy. And so there's a lot of complexity to the situation. It's not, you're not just going and doing your job and then going home. There's a lot of other things that you have to be in charge of, and it can change on a, you know, hourly basis, depending on what walks in the door. So it's, people don't think through it as much. You know, they think we just take our dog in to get shots. And unless you've had a dog that's been sick or, you know, had to have some sort of right, extra care, a lot of people don't ever realize what we deal with or go through every day. So,
yeah. No, and I totally understand that. At seeing our neighbors gone through the loss of two of their dogs since we've lived here has been, you know, being able to see that happen. It's a part of their family, and it's a part of their, that relationship with them. And, you know, having the, have the skill to perform the procedures on the animal, as well as having the social skills to talk to that patient. I think you hit it right on the head with a lot of that information. So we talked a little bit earlier, you know, you've been in the industry now 10 plus years. What's something looking back now that you can say, you know, you're really proud of achieving?
I mean, I think proud of achieving, we just put a big addition on our clinic and remodeled the whole thing. So that's a pretty big achievement, just to have lasted as a business for 10 years and grown to the point where we can expand. That's good. I mean, we started out as two doctors, one receptionist, two technicians, and I think one other support staff. And so there's like four support staff in the clinic with Rachel and I, and now there's 12 support staff. So, I mean, we've tripled that. We have three doctors now. We had four until one of our associates left. So just seeing that grow is an accomplishment. But I mean, on the veterinary side of things, I think you really start to feel a sense of accomplishment, like when you're able to see some of the kids that have come and worked for you or worked with you and are now getting accepted into vet school or going through vet school. That whole process of turning over and, you know, mentoring young people and seeing them succeed, I think, is important too. So that's a pretty big achievement, because one of our associate that works with us worked for us when we first started our business. So it's kind of full circle that now she's been here for 2.5 years. So those are all really good achievements too, just to be able to say that, you know, that person wanted to come back and work with you because you did a good job mentoring them, I think is always a good thing too.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, like you said, having that full circle come back in the educational process of seeing them starting something and then come back as a vet and working with you alongside you, it's pretty interesting. You kind of touched on this a little bit, and we're going to get into it a little bit deeper, but if you could go back and change something professionally that you may have done when you were younger or regret not doing, what would something like that be as far as professionally? You kind of mentioned on it a little bit about the college, about studying for business classes. But as a vet or a business owner, something that, you know, you could have done differently or gone back and changed.
So I think a lot of what I would change would be potentially related to the way that Rachel and I kind of have set up our business. I think we've gotten to the point to where we are because we worked really hard, a lot of long hours, but I wish we would have focused a little bit more on building some of the stuff that we're doing now. Like, we're building up really big training database as far as for training new employees and staff, and working more on, when we bought the business, of like more continuing education or more classes on how to retain employees, build up employees, train employees appropriately, and kind of get all those things in place. But when you look back on that, I don't necessarily see it as a failure as much as I see it as, you know, we took the time to, being new out of school, we took the time to really focus on how do we take care of these patients? How do we do it correctly? How do we do it the right way? How do we do the best medicine that we possibly can? And focus on growing business organically that way through like client retention and word of mouth. And that has allowed us to grow our business to where it is. But it's also caused a lot of pain because we didn't know how to manage the business effectively. So I think we did it right, but I also know that we could have probably done it differently. That may would have had less probably pain in the long run, but we're to a point now to where we kind of have a handle on what we need to be doing. It's just gotten to get there. But at the same time, we've been able to grow and have a good reputation in our community as a good business. So I don't know if I would necessarily change it as much as we could have done it differently.
Right. Yeah. And be able to learn from that. I think like you're saying, you know, you wanted to make sure you were focusing on your business and taking care of the people and the animals the best you could. And you noticed that there was something that you could improve on. And by, you know, seeing that now you're able to work on that currently. As far as professional development, you mentioned just a second ago about, you know, taking classes on client retention or, you know, learning how to run the business. As far as keeping your license as a veterinary medicine, what does that entail? Is how many hours you have to take and how often do you have to renew your license or certifications?
So you have to be licensed with the state. And so whatever state you're in has continuing education requirements. Right now, the state of Minnesota where I'm at, I think it's 22 hours, but it's every 2 years. So okay. You have to renew every 2 years and you have to have a certain number of CE credits. I am also, I think Rachel's also licensed in South Dakota and they have the same type of requirements, but most states have CE requirements. So that kind of fulfills your state obligation. And in order to be working state, you have to have a license. And then you have to take a national licensing exam after you graduate school in order to practice in any state. So I have to have that, but I don't have to retake that. So there's not really any testing. It's just mostly you have to prove that you took CE credits. And then there's also federal requirements for if I want to sign health certificates or do other certain things with animal transport. Like large animals and things like that I have to keep up on. I think that's every 4 years and you have to do CE requirements for that and reapply with the federal government for that. And then I also have to maintain a DEA license for controlled drugs. So, and that's renewed every few years too. So there's a lot of different like licensing stuff that you have to kind of keep up with. And all of that requires least some paperwork and some continuing education, but it's rewarding to go to those courses because you can bring something back, do something different, learn something new because everything's changing. And by the, you know, when I'm 60 and I'm going to retire, it will be completely different than when I started. So you just, in order to continue practicing at a good level and high standard of care, you have to keep doing continuing education.
Yeah, as far as those continuing education classes, what are some of the kind of the industry trends that you've been seeing maybe over the last year or two as far as care of animals or business or dealing with the people aspect of it? Just kind of the industry trends as far as the CEUs.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the biggest things that's happened in the last couple of years is basically just mental health. And so in the industry in general, there's a really high suicide rate among veterinary professionals. And so the biggest thing that I've seen is more of a push from industry leaders and different CE conferences and things like that. There's been a lot more talk on mental health and suicide prevention and just different groups and organizations that have formed to try and help with that on a continuing education basis, like support groups and different courses on, you know, self-care and how do you manage work-life balance and things like that. So I've seen that's been a big deal since the pandemic. But.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, everybody has been dealing with mental health. And I think that's pretty interesting to see that, you know, there's such a, like you mentioned, a high rate of suicide attempts within veterinary medicine. So definitely focusing on mental health is something that benefits everybody, especially like you mentioned earlier with, you know, having to deal with those hard situations and conversations and decompartmentalizing those and leaving your work at work. It's not always easy for everyone to do so. So let's look at 10 years from now. You know, in the first 10 years, you've been able to grow your practice. You've been able to triple the amount of people that work for you. You've built an extension onto your practice. 10 years from now, where do you see yourself and Cross Lake Veterinary Hospital?
So, like, I guess our five-year goal is to have another doctor, which hopefully that will happen soon. And then from there, I guess our 10-year goal would be to have kind of Rachel and I part-time to the point to where we're working as many hours and potentially have a fifth associate or five total doctors, so three associates within 10 years. And so it's basically over the next 10 years is to fill out the expansion and maximize our efficiency. So it's basically growing our staff and growing our clients. And so we're going to focus really hard on all of those things. And so I see 10 more years of really hard work, basically. But the goal is to finally fill out the space and create what we were hoping for. And that's to have a five doctor practice that allows us to take more time off away from the practice, split up emergency on call situations a little bit differently, and to have enough to be able to basically employ enough support staff to where it's not as challenging if someone's sick or if people want to take, you know, 3 weeks off, we can accommodate things like that a lot more easily with a bigger staff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think that's a great goal. And, you know, as you're running your own business and trying to be as financially successful as possible within that business. Like you said, 10 years of real hard work, being able to have those five veterinary medicine doctors there and being able to kind of just sustain that growth and business there. Is there anything that you wish you would have known early on in high school or college that would prepare you better for where you are at now in your career?
As far as where I am now, I would say that I hope I am where I was supposed to be. Certainly feels, you know, getting up and going to work every day is not easy for anyone, no matter how much you love your job. There's always challenges. So I would say that I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I get to talk to people every day. I get to form new relationships every day. I get to, you know, do things on my feet with my hands. And so it's really good industry for me and good career for me. I think what I would have possibly changed is basically just getting more experience, and the schools are forcing that now. You can't really apply to vet school without a lot of hours of experience. Vet school is very selective, and so there's a lot of people that apply to it. And so if they make changes, then everyone has to conform to those changes if they want to be going into school. And one of those is basically getting as much hands-on time as possible prior to going into vet school. And that's probably what I would recommend myself having done instead of doing some of the other things I did. But it didn't change my career path, but it probably would change a lot of younger people. And it probably helps to, I don't know, better understand some of our mental health issues in the industry to, you know, for people to have a mentor early on and when people are in high school and learn more about the veterinary industry and learn more from veterinarians about what it's like and what that job is and how it's, you know, not just playing with puppies and kittens during the day. It's, you know, a lot more than that. And so it can be challenging. And so I think for people to understand that aspect, I think would be good, because a lot of times I don't think people really think about that. So
yeah, more. I like that. That's a good, a good thought process is, you know, get in there, see what you like, see what you don't like, and see if it's for you.
Starting at the bottom, as a lot of people just, they have to clean up dog poop all day, right? They got to go to the kennel and clean up dog poop and clean cat litter boxes and do laundry and all of that. They got to do all day for, you know, a year. And so just realizing that that's the amount of work and stuff that has to be done, you know, on the back end of all this stuff, and, you know, see what that's like and experience that, I think is important. If you can make it through all those things, then yeah, you probably make it in veterinary medicine just fine and you'd be happy with it. But there's a lot of bad that comes with the good. So you just have to be aware of that.
Right. So then I guess this is a four-part question, and we're going to look at it in those four different segments. So it's advice. We're going to look at advice for a high school student, advice for an undergraduate student that's studying to be a vet, advice for somebody that's in vet school, and then somebody that is a brand new hire that has been working for 3 to 6 months. So first part of that question is, what advice would you have for a high school student if you were talking to 16, 17-year-old Kyle Anderson? What would you tell yourself to do as far as maybe doing then and there to prepare you for a career in veterinary medicine?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to what I was just saying, but I would get real-world experience. Try and find a veterinary clinic to where you can apply for a job, or try and reach out and talk to the clinic owner or one of the veterinarians directly and try and get experience, job shadowing, whatever you can do to get in the doors of the clinic to try and get more exposure to make sure that that's exactly what you want to do. And then I think it's really important to have a well-rounded just resume. So making sure that you're part of extracurricular activities, make sure you're part of, you know, your church or whatever religion you're doing or not doing, but make sure you're part of community groups like churches. Make sure you're part of doing community outreach and like at your local YMCA or Boy Scouts or whatever it is. Make sure that you're doing those things, participating in school activities, whether it's music or sports or drama. Doing all of those extracurriculars is really important because you need to be able to show that you can maintain a good sense of balance in your life along with your education. Because if you can show schools that you're able to maintain a GPA with all of these other outside activities and still, you know, maintaining a good GPA, it's very important for them to see that, because they want well-rounded people who can handle stress and be resilient. And when you can do multiple different things that and excel at that, that shows that you have really good resiliency. So,
okay. And then as far as an undergraduate student, you know, like you're at Bethany, you know, your junior year, what advice would you give yourself then to prepare yourself for a career in veterinary medicine?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard for young kids to kind of realize that there's a network there for them to succeed. You know, they just have to tap into it. And I think a lot of that is with your professors and your advisors. And I think that you have to be in constant communication with them throughout your college years. If you're not, I think you're leaving a big resource on the table, because they can help guide you on how to apply for schools and how to write essays. And they can be very instrumental in writing you letters of recommendation. And so being involved with kind of starting early on, forming a relationship with your advisor, making sure they know your face, making sure they know who you are, I think is important. And then I also think that it's really important to join clubs or different activities that are related to the field that you're looking to be in. So they'll have like pre-vet clubs or any sort of animal oriented clubs or any sort of science oriented clubs, things like that, that you can just show that you have been showing interest and that you're staying involved in them and that you are wanting to learn more about what you're going to be doing at the next level. And then keeping some sort of a job in the summer that's related to the industry that you're in, and doing as much volunteer or outside service work that you can do to show that, you know, you're doing things outside of just school and you're interested in other things. Because again, on that piece, like, you have to be able to show a university that's going to accept you to vet school that you're different. Like, you know, you were able to keep a full-time job, be involved in all these clubs and maintain a GPA. Like, that's going to make you stand out to a lot of other applicants. So you just have to keep yourself engaged in learning and engaged in outside activities so that you can show that, again, you have resiliency and that you can do a lot of different things and succeed. And that's what they want.
Yeah. So then looking at a vet student who's currently in school, let's look at like a third year or a fourth year student. What advice would you have for them as far as getting ready to graduate, getting ready to look for jobs or the type of career path that they want as far as veterinary medicine?
Well, I would encourage people to kind of broaden their horizon for different experiences. So don't just think, you know, I just want to do this. Make sure that you try and experience all that you can throughout the veterinary industry that pertains to what you want to do. If you want to be a small animal veterinarian, then you should try and go to many different places and see what you want to do. Don't just pigeonhole yourself into, I'm going to go do this, this, and this, and not experience other things. And I think that's important throughout vet school. If you can go to different areas of the country or to different doctors or different things to get experience when you're not in school, I think that's important. And make sure that you branch out and learn as much as you can from different people, because you may find that you don't want to do what you thought you wanted to do. And if you don't take those time to branch out and look at different experiences, you just won't ever know. And I mean, I would just encourage veterinarians to, there's a big push right now to, you know, you have to do an internship. You need more experience before you can be a doctor. I would just encourage vet students to reach out to other practice owners and talk to them about mentorship. You know, there's a lot of things that private practice can offer with mentorship that internships can't. So I just basically have people weigh all their options. Don't just think that they can't do certain things, because that's not always the case. You should try and experience as much as you can and figure out what really truly does fit.
Right. Yeah. You know, you hit a lot about networking right there, and, you know, just showing that expanding your network and reaching out to people to find out what, you know, worked for them is kind of the whole key of this kind of topic, you know, just being there for other people in the industry and helping them, guide them along through the pathway. As far as an employee now, somebody that's been a vet for 6 months, you know, you come out of vet school or any school and you think you kind of, you know what you're doing, you know how the best way to do this type of process, you know, whether that's teaching and you think you're going to run your classroom a specific way, after you do your student teaching, you're ready to take on the world. As a vet now of 10 years experience, what advice do you give that new vet that maybe have been working for 6 months?
Just to not get frustrated, really focus on taking the time to kind of have after action review at the end of the day and just trying to figure out what's not going well, what's going well, and really focus on leaning hard onto your mentorship, like the practice owner or maybe the older associate, and kind of going through some of the things that are going well and getting some opinions on how to fix them, and, you know, really celebrating things that are going well. Because I feel like new graduates out of school get really stuck on, you know, we're not doing this the right way, or this isn't going well, you know, I'm not doing a good job. And that's not always the case. You have to be able to sit down at the end of the day and kind of look at some things that may be challenging to you. And in order to try and overcome that, you need to have some sort of plan. And sometimes talking with a veterinarian that's been doing it longer at the practice can help come up with that plan or suggest some ways to figure that out. And then you also have to take positives, because you are doing a good job probably in a lot of different areas, and you need to make sure that you're giving yourself a pat on the back for that, because we can't always focus on negatives. And a lot of times people in our industry are perfectionists and they think that they have to do everything right. And that's not the case. And so you have to celebrate the things that do go well and that you do right, to realize that, yeah, you are doing a lot of stuff right. And it's not always about the negative. And so I think being able to just take a step back and look at some of those things, because it's very overwhelming at first. So.
Yeah. I think that, like you said, at the end of the day, I don't remember the term you used, but at the end of the day, sitting down and kind of reviewing your day, look at the positives, look at the negatives. I think that's a big key, as far as any type of job, you know, making sure that you're wanting to grow, by the positives and negatives throughout your day. As far as a book recommendation, do you have any type of books that maybe you read through in high school or college about maybe veterinary that kind of stood out to you, or one that you like?
Not really. I don't know. There's not a big book or anything that I would say. No.
Stood it out. Now, as far as a practicing vet, do you have any tools that you use other than like maybe your calendar or your phone or your schedule, but like an actual veterinary tool that you use that really helps you throughout your day working on the different types of animals?
I mean, we pretty basic tools. I mean, we just look at same types of things that you would see in a human doctor office. I mean, the stethoscope, equipment to look in, eyes and ears, and different things like that. So those are like daily, day-to-day things. But I mean, we use technology all the time. I have an online database that I use for drug dosing. It's called Veterinary Information Database. Veterinary Information Network is the title of it. But that it's also a listserv, so I can type in a search and it'll pull up a whole bunch of different things, whether it's resource articles or scientific articles or just posts from other veterinarians. But it helps to answer questions about certain cases that you have questions on. And so we use that a lot. But technology is really key, so you just got to keep tapped into that. We use a lot of teleconferencing with other doctors. We, you know, email videographs and images to other doctors and get second opinions. So it's very heavy technology when you wouldn't necessarily think it always is, but we're connected now and we can send information to pretty much anyone, anywhere, anytime. So do a lot of consulting with other doctors and things like that too.
Yeah. We got three more questions, I guess, left. This one is if you like and dislike blank, then being a doctor or being in veterinary is not for you. Our athletic trainer kind of came up with this one when I was talking with her. It was if you dislike blank, then being an athletic trainer is not for you. And her answer was feet. So dealing with rolled ankles, taping ankles all day long, that kind of stuff as an athletic trainer. So as a veterinary medicine doctor, if you dislike blank, then being a vet is not the career path for you.
Sure. I mean, I would just say like animals in general, but the funny thing about veterinary medicine is there's actually veterinarians who don't touch animals. So like there's veterinary radiologists and all they do is look at radiology images all day. And so they don't really touch animals per se. And they don't really deal with talking to humans other than other veterinarians. So the thing about veterinary medicine is it's more of a, like once you have your degree, you can go pretty much anywhere. Like there's veterinarians that work at the CDC. There's veterinarians that work at the National Institute of Health. And so you can do research, you can do, you know, radiology, you can do so many different things. And so if you dislike science, I would guess, you know, veterinarian. It's there are so many different pathways you can take. when you have a doctor of veterinary medicine, it does not mean that you're just going to see cats and dogs all day. There's so many different veterinarians and places in the world that you wouldn't even realize that, like, oh, a veterinarian does that job. So it's a very unique career path, and you don't have to, like, be just one thing. Like, there's so many different options. So
that's really cool to know that, you know, you don't have to, or like veterinary x-ray, you don't have to touch the animal and you're still a veterinarian. So if you do like blank, then being a veterinarian could be the right career path for you.
Oh, I mean, if you like science and like adaptive learning and just figuring out how things work and fix them. Right. If you like those things, you will love being a veterinarian. I mean, there's veterinary pathologists that work on human viruses. And so, I mean, there's all different kinds of things you can do. It's a very unique field.
Yeah. Do you have a mantra or quote that you like to live your career and work life through?
Not necessarily. I mean, I guess a few things that, one big thing is just taking every day as an opportunity, because you don't really realize where you are in your career until you like stop and think like, wow, this is a pretty big opportunity that I have this day in front of me, because like, you know, 30 years ago, I did never think I would be here, you know? And so just having another day to do something that you love to do, or go to work and do something that you've taken all this time to reach this goal or this level is really pretty cool. And so that's kind of something I live by. I just kind of, you know, I have this opportunity to, you know, have one more day doing this, or, you know, one more day to like be able to do something that I really wanted to do, I think is great.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to reach out to you about veterinary medicine, or they have a question for you, how would somebody go about getting a hold of you through your website or other various social media accounts?
No, they can email me. That'd probably be the easiest.
Okay, that would be great. I will put that on there for them. Thank you, Kyle, so much for spending a little over an hour with us talking all things veterinary medicine. We really appreciate it, and I'll be excited to share this with our students.
Thank you.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.